You can keep the answer to yourself, of course. Here's the question. Who's your best friend? Here's another question. Is there anyone in your life whom you consider to be a friend for life? The word friend is used very flexibly in everyday speech. It can be used to refer to any number of relationships, from a friendly acquaintance and a comfortable acquaintance, all the way to that person or to those persons to whom we go during life's most intense moments. And sadly, the longevity of friendships is also something that can vary considerably. Are you still in contact with those whom you consider to be your best friends in grade school? Are those of us in the assembly who are on the older side of the spectrum still in contact with those whom we considered our closer friends decades ago? Relationships involving mere mortals can and often do fade. As a matter of fact, a new verb has been coined which underscores the temporal nature of certain friendships. And I was really quite startled and surprised. This is startled, maybe a little strong, but I was awfully surprised yesterday when I saw that this verb is already found in dictionaries as an entry. I didn't think I'd find it there, but I looked in the new dictionary up in I-21, and there it was as an entry. The verb is unfriend. And the definition for that transitive verb is to remove someone as a friend on a social networking website. That, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, 5th edition. How nice that no such verb exists in the scriptures. How nice that the Lord never unfriends those who follow him by faith. How nice that in Jesus, we truly have a friend for life in both senses of that expression. Speaking of his relationship with us in terms of the friendly relationship that exists between a shepherd and a sheep, Jesus said this: "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In every respect and to the greatest extent, Jesus is our friend for life. But he's not the only one who has great interest in us. In his analogy of a shepherd with sheep, he says there's also a thief out there. As sheep, we are the objects of much attention, but not all of that is good. For the devil and his allies also watch us every day and try in every way to disrupt and disturb our friendship with Jesus. If Jesus is properly called our friend for life, the devil, I suppose, could probably be referred to as our enemy for life, the one who is bent on leading us to death. Jesus reveals that his objective is to steal and kill and destroy, an objective of which we need to be aware, an objective which is easy for us to forget. For the devil does his best to come across to us as our friend who simply wants to show us a good time. He portrays the Lord as the killjoy, the one who doesn't know how to have real fun. But the devil is not our friend, he is our foe. And his only goal is to see us destroyed. Adam and Eve found that out the hard way. He promised them in a very friendly way divinity, but all they got was death. He promised pleasures, all they received was pain. Peter exposes him for what he is. Your enemy, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may help, show a good time, give good things? No. Seeking whom he may devour. He wants us ruined, and we would be lost and ruined forever were it not for the other one who has his attention focused on us, Jesus. He is the real friend. He said to his believers, "From now on, I'm not going to call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." He's the true friend who honestly wants nothing but the very, very best for us. And he is our friend for life, who is the one who therefore spends every moment with us that we spend on earth and beyond to reassure his disciples at the time of his ascension He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. There is never a place where this friend is not present. There is never a prayer that this friend does not hear. There is never a situation which this friend does not understand. There is never a disappointment which he does not share. He's a friend for life, life on earth and life everlasting. Paul pointed out in his letter to the Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Continuous companionship with Christ is the wonderful blessing we receive through faith in him. He is not our friend for life, only in the sense of being the long-term, the eternal companion, however. He is also our friend for life in the sense of providing us with life, even beyond the grave. The life Jesus possesses is the life which Jesus shares. When he rose from the dead, he crushed death into nothing more than the temporary state from which we will be raised. Because of Jesus, life goes on beyond the few short years of this earthly existence. Death can no longer stop us. Jesus explained, he who hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Even as it is no longer possible for Jesus to be held by death, it is impossible for death to hold those who are attached to him by faith. And again, the eternal life he gives is also an abundant life. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Our friend gives us a life that is packed with blessings, including the treasures of love, joy, and peace, the very things that the world wants more than anything else, but has no idea of how to attain. Jesus fills our lives with countless blessings already now as a prelude to the heavenly life, which will be even more abundant. When we land safely on the shores of paradise, the songs of thanksgiving will be thunderous, for the abundance of pleasures, privileges, and riches will be staggering. Paul wrote, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So who's our friend for life? Not the devil. He pretends to be, simply in order to try to pull us down. Who is our friend for life? Don't keep that to yourselves. He's Jesus, the one who promises to be with us every minute, and the one who imparts the abundant life he died to secure. Jesus is our friend for life, friending us that we might live. We sing of this life he imparts in the form of hymn 200, the first stanza, and verses 6 through 8, 200, 1, and 6 through 8. faculty is asked to meet on this side of the gym.